Good morning. My name is Tyra Gross, and I'm a third-year doctoral student in the College of Public Health at the University of Georgia. And I'm going to be talking to you today a little bit different discussion because I'm going to be talking about breastfeeding in the context of HIV in developing countries. So we know here in the United States and other developed countries, there's guidelines saying do not breastfeed in the context of HIV. Infant formula is regulated very well here. We have clean water. We have a lot of programs in place for mothers to replacement feed in this context. But it's a completely different world, literally, in developing countries, where especially where HIV is a really big issue. And so the title of my presentation is Breast Still Best? A Narrative Review of Current Literature on HIV and Infant Feeding in the Developing World. And as a presenter, I have no relationships to disclose. And so previous presenters have already mentioned that the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months of life and encourage mothers to breastfeed for the first year or beyond if the mother and the infant so choose. But when we look at that outside of the U.S. for the World Health Organization, similar recommendations for exclusive breastfeeding, even in the context of HIV, so exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months of life, and they encourage mothers to breastfeed up to 2 years or beyond as the mother desires. And throughout the developing world, breastfeeding is a cultural norm. So when we talk about the issue of HIV, there's a lot of barriers there because mothers, on one hand, they know breastfeeding is the cultural norm. They know the benefits of breastfeeding. However, they also know that on that same hand that breastfeeding increases the transmission of the HIV virus to infants. And then on the other hand, you have replacement feeding through formula or animal's milk that decreases or it virtually eliminates the transmission of HIV to the infant from the mother. However, it increases overall infant morbidity and mortality in these contexts. So there's been a debate in the literature regarding do the benefits of breastfeeding really outweigh the risk of mother-to-child transmission of HIV in these contexts, or is replacement feeding really better? And so recently in 2010, the World Health Organization updated their HIV and infant feeding guidelines, and this update really came about due to the extensive literature that has been finding that when mothers have consistent antiretroviral therapy, I was describing it to some peers last night, it's almost like it's a miracle that HIV is the chances of HIV transmission from mother to child are slim to none when mothers are on this therapy. And so basically in these guidelines, and it is recommended, again, for exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months of life for HIV-positive mothers, whether they're on ARVs or whether they're not on ARVs, so still very interesting. But here in this report, the World Health Organization is telling national health authorities, so for us that would be the CDC, for other countries that would be their ministries of health, to decide for their context which method of infant feeding they are going to support and counsel mothers on. So is this going to be breastfeeding with antiretroviral therapy, or is, in the case of the United States, Australia, UK, Canada, replacement feeding? And so the questions that guided this narrative review that I conducted last year were, what are the infant feeding trends in developing countries where HIV is really an issue? So this is sub-Saharan Africa and also South and Southeast Asia. And also, what are influencing HIV-positive mothers in their decision to breastfeed or not? Because, again, this it's not here in the U.S. where it's just like, do I use formula? Do I use breastfeeding? They actually have this context of HIV, which brings stigma and issues with providers and cultural norms. So a lot to sort out. So I did a PubMed search in last July, and the search strategy was basically breastfeeding or infant feeding and HIV. And I limited it to 2006 to 2011 because 2006 was the last revision of the HIV and infant feeding guidelines. So I was kind of trying to see what was going on in between these two publications. English language, human subjects, and any articles that had an abstract available. And so the inclusion criteria was original research studies from developing countries. And so 12 studies resulted, and I had originally 492 citations, and the reason that it slimmed down to 12 is because a lot of the research is very clinical in nature, talking about the effectiveness of ARVs, but not really saying this is what mothers are dealing with, this is some of the barriers, these are some of the determinants. It's more from a clinical perspective of the effectiveness of the therapy. And so I'll talk about the infant feeding practices as far as exclusive breastfeeding or other infant feeding, weaning, and determinants of infant feeding. And so looking at four different countries, in South Africa, the study by Lanzani found that of about 800 HIV-positive mothers, about half of them exclusively formula fed between 3 to 6 months. But in general, in a lot of these countries, it's important to note that exclusive breastfeeding is not customary. So in a lot of these countries, mothers might even introduce stuff like porridge. You can see in the study in Tanzania that porridge was introduced as early as a few weeks of age. So exclusive breastfeeding is not customary. Breastfeeding in general is, but not exclusive breastfeeding. So 12% of these mothers in the study in South Africa did mixed feed. In Zambia, about 55% of the HIV-positive mothers, and again, this was about 800, ceased breastfeeding by 6 months. So any breastfeeding, all breastfeeding, was ceased by 6 months, and we know what the World Health Organization recommends. So the median age of cessation was 3 months, and there have been several randomized controlled trials that looked at the timing of when a mother weans and how that impacts HIV transmission. In Tanzania, again, a lot initiate breastfeeding, but the median duration of exclusive is about 3 months. And in India, about a third of HIV-positive mothers were found in a study to replacement feed, and that rate of exclusively breastfeeding dropped severely from the first week from 70% to 20% at 6 months. So looking at determinants of infant feeding in South Africa, several studies have found that the 2006 guidelines were saying that mothers can be supported or encouraged to replacement feed if they have certain conditions in place. Do they have water? Do they have electricity? Do they have the income to support purchasing formula? So these studies are basically saying that about 68% of women who wanted to formula feed because they knew that transmission would be eliminated if they formula fed did not even meet the criteria. So they wanted to formula feed, yet they didn't have the criteria. This was a multi-site mixed method study in Burkina Faso, Cameroon, and Cambodia. And it's interesting to note from this study is that health workers in their counseling of infant feeding to HIV-positive mothers were driven by the mother's economic status, so not necessarily what the country guidelines were for infant feeding in the context of HIV. And then mothers were driven by social aspects. They wanted to be good mothers. They wanted, they didn't want to be perceived as being a bad mother, or a nasty mother, or doing something that's outside of the norms. And then they found out that there's a lot of stigma, and then the father's attitudes, because, you know, these fathers are used to seeing mothers breastfeed, so infant feeding would be an issue if they use formula. In Malawi, mothers were found to have confusion about exclusive breastfeeding, so they were like, you know, this is not our custom to only breastfeed. You know, we might give some water, we might give some animal milk here and there. And so they were saying providers are telling us to exclusive breastfeed, but I'm not even really sure why they're saying that. And then they found that early weaning was found challenging because the World Health Organization does recommend that if mothers decide that they are going to cease breastfeeding in the context of HIV, that they need to wean abruptly. So they were kind of confused about this recommendation as well. And in this context, it's culturally accepted to breastfeed up until age 3. So there's a lot of stigma if moms even stop breastfeeding early. And then something really interesting was something the authors called the psychological burden of downloaded responsibility. And I'm going to read these quotes. We feel bad thinking that as the baby is being breastfed, he or she can contract the virus in the process. So a lot of mental health issues going on in these mothers' minds regarding, I know that this can affect my infant's health. I think there is unfairness because if they know that the baby is to stop breast milk, then they should find us an alternative solution because on our own we can't manage. And that actually was the quote used for the title of this article. So in discussion, infant feeding practices in a lot of areas that are burdened by HIV are not following what the World Health Organization is suggesting. So there's been some discussion in editorials about, are these guidelines really practical for countries like this? HIV-infected mothers face a lot of confusion, just mentally within themselves, stigma from their communities, and other challenges. Some of these mothers have not even disclosed their status to their partners. So you can imagine that issue. And even though it's a personal decision that the mothers make, breastfeeding is embedded in biological, social, cultural, economic, and political context. So there's a lot to sort through with this. And despite the risk, the literature is showing that breastfeeding in the context of HIV is still best. And there has been some debate. I know there was an author in the UK that was saying, will developed countries kind of follow this new trend? And if HIV-positive mothers want to breastfeed, you know, make a case-by-case basis for that. So HIV-infected mothers need additional support if they're going to be able to achieve the recommendations by the World Health Organization. Thank you.